Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 16th of December, recording at 10:38 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, again, apologies for the late recording time, partly because I recorded with a wrong mic previously, which was pretty stupid. But a very exciting day here, and a lot to report here overall. Now, quick highlights. The Asian stock markets a little bit mixed, but mostly closing near the higher side of their ranges on the day. Some moderate gains in the European stock market indices, but the big news was on Wall Street, where the Fed surprised people with a larger than expected 75 basis point rate cut in the federal funds rate. And the headline on Bloomberg that I'll be posting is Fed cuts rate to as low as zero, will use all tools at its disposal. The important point about that is that it's been very fashionable in recent months for people to say the Fed is out of ammunition, the Fed has lost control, it can't really do anything in here, and that we are in a depression and in a severe 30s-style deflation, and we might as well just lie back and let all this wash over us because there's no fighting it. And sooner or later after that, then the system will gradually restore itself. Well, I think that's a little bit defeatist, to put it mildly. And I think the danger of saying that the Fed is powerless or out of information and saying, or out of ammunition rather, and saying the same thing about other central banks, is that it's a fear rather than a fact. And we're seeing that the Fed and other central banks can do a lot, both conventionally and unconventionally, in their efforts to cushion the economy overall. And that certainly is what the Fed is determined to do, and what the outgoing Bush administration has been determined to do, and what the incoming Obama administration in the U.S. is determined to do. It's certainly what the U.K. government is determined to do, and Europe, well, not moving as aggressively in terms of the stimulus packages, but there is a belief there that things are not quite so bad, and certainly they didn't suffer as many of the same bubble problems, at least Germany didn't. And China is certainly moving flat out to revive its economy. Now, overall, as you know, I've been a pessimist in terms of the economic outlook for quite a while, saying that because I could see the trend, the data kept getting worse, and that continues today. And I don't doubt that it will continue certainly into the first quarter of next year. But that's the economy. And what I'm talking about, or what we're most interested in here in terms of the Fuller Money Global Strategy Service, is what the markets are actually going to do. And a key for the markets is, well, how do they actually look beyond the chasm of an appalling economic situation, and needless to say, very bad for corporate profits, and see the other side and be sufficiently encouraged by that long outlook to be supporting the market? Well, there's some evidence that that is happening, and the key is confidence and liquidity. Well, certainly central banks are putting plenty of liquidity back into the system, and I know that the velocity of that money is still very, very low, and that does have to pick up before we see any economic recovery, but some of that money can also find its way into the markets, and I think that is beginning to take place. Now, when we had that horrifically, astonishingly, breathtakingly alarming collapse in stock markets right into October, that of course, looked very, very climactic. And the Fuller Money view since then was that that had set the conditions up for a reversion to the mean ranging technical rally, the mean being the declining 200-day moving average best seen on weekly on weekly charts. I've mentioned that over and over again. Now, I often, well, not often, but I do get some emails coming in saying, David, you don't get it. This is a depression. Well, how do they know that? That's, I think, a feeling or faith-based rather than a fact. And they say that the markets are going to go much, much lower, 50% lower, or whatever. Well, maybe those people are right in the sense that any view is in with a possibility. But to those who've been saying that, and I hope some of you are listening, if you actually look at the charts, which are the reality check, we have been seeing more upward dynamics than downward dynamics since that plunge into October. We also see a number of stock market indices ranging with a slight upward bias. It doesn't matter how slight that bias actually is, but if you start to see some higher reaction lows and some higher highs, that is suggesting, that is not suggesting, it's indicating that demand is actually getting the upper hand. And that's quite important. And we do see an increasing number of indices that show patterns like that. China has for a while, and India has. Some of the continental European indices show that show some rising lows. The UK does. And more importantly, given the leash effect, Wall Street's indices show that. Now, in these audios for most of this month, I've been saying watch those early December reaction lows. As long as they held, we could conclude that the ranging mean reversion recovery and the year-end rally, which I have said since October, could easily run well into the first quarter, that as long as those early December reaction lows were holding, then the higher low evidence was intact, and we had additional information that bulls still maintained the upper hand. And I also said that if those early December lows were taken out, that that wouldn't be game, set, and match to the bears. But you can't retest the lows, those October, November lows, let alone see another big leg on the downside without first taking out those early December lows. So this is where the charts become so important in terms of our discipline, and as I said before, our reality check in terms of what is actually taking place here in the markets. Now, there are also some markets that are still drifting lower, and those have been primarily the last bubble among stock markets, and those were the some of the Middle Eastern and North African stock market indices, and also a few of the little ones from the subcontinent. So they're still drifting down, but their capitalization weighting, and also some of the Eastern European markets, but their capitalization weighting is tiny. And all of the bigger markets, US, Japan, UK, China, Germany, they're showing these firmer patterns overall, and I wouldn't want to rationalize away that evidence. Now, since October, I've been saying that, and Owen's been saying, we're not talking about more than a mean reversion technical rally at this stage. But I have to point out, it would be irresponsible not to point out, that stock markets bottom out with patterns such as we're seeing right now. And we have seen some pretty significant recoveries. If you look at some of the China trackers, for instance, they have done very well, depending on what currency they're quoted in. So that's a factor in all this as well. Gold shares have done spectacularly well, and they were early leaders back in 2003, as well. So I think if you look at a number of weekly charts, you will conclude that the patterns in terms of this ranging activity are beginning to look different from what we had seen earlier in those overall downward trends, which still persist, of course. Now, I've also said that the evidence of the next bull market would be when not only did we have base formations with characterized by rising lows, but that they also broke above their 200-day moving averages, and then those 200-day moving averages actually turned around and began to move upwards. By that stage, we will be way off the lows, and as I say, into the into the next bull market cycle. Now, it takes time for that to actually occur. But so I'll go back to my point that the year end and into the first quarter of the new year rally appears to be on track here. Continue to use as a focal point for monitoring these moves as early December lows. But given the upward dynamic that we saw on Wall Street today, the of any follow through tomorrow, and we would have another higher low if it breaks up out of the little range, the upper side of which it's testing right now. So then we'd be able to say, well, focus now on that mid December reaction low. As long as that holds, it's showing that demand still has the upper hand, that the bias for these markets is still to the upside. Now, China is very important here psychologically overall, I think, because Asia has the better fundamentals, and China is going to be the big one there psychologically, even though the Japanese stock market in capitalization terms is larger and the Japanese economy is still larger overall. But China is the one we really want to focus on, and another fuller money theme is that China may well be leading the world out of these bear market declines. So China needs to continue to range sideways to a higher, extending that progression of higher highs and higher reaction lows. And if China is able to do that, and if we start to sometime next year get evidence of improved economic data from China, and it's still deteriorating at the moment, I hasten to add, but an improving stock market in China would certainly be a tonic for the rest of the region, and that sentiment would also spread. Wall Street, of course, will remain extremely important in terms of the leash effect. Okay, what else here? Now, long-dated government bonds—they had another big day on the upside. Wall Street's gains were spectacular at one point, but then pegged back a little bit towards the close, but still in form. That sector's still in form, and I'm going to mention it only briefly. We saw last week and the beginning of this week, we saw a little trading range on those U.S. Treasuries, and as long as they don't fall down through that pattern, which is close to hand, you can see that on any of the charts, then we can give this bond rally the upside, or we can give the upside the benefit of the doubt for a while longer, provided it doesn't take out those recent range lows. Now, I also feel that again, bond investors will obviously stay with these positions while the momentum play continues, but when that momentum is eventually lost, as happens with all rallies, all good rallies, Then investors are going to say, what am I actually getting by lending to the US government for 10 to 30 years or lending to other governments for similar durations? And the conclusion will be not that great a yield. And the low yield on these instruments due to the strong rallies make equity yields look more attractive, and they make corporate bond yields look more attractive. And that is a favorable overall picture. Then the inflation has gone away, as we know, to the point that people are seriously worried about deflation. But the U.S. dollar has continued to weaken in here. It fell quite sharply in here today. And having rallied a little bit early on in the day, the dollar was clipped very hard, fell another over 1.5 points on the U.S. dollar index to 80.68. The euro is back up over 140. And that is encouraging in terms of saying that the relentless avalanche of deleveraging that was taking place has at least waned somewhat. The yen is still pretty strong. The dollar's down to 88, just under 89, I should say, yen to the U.S. dollar. So I'd like to see a weaker yen here as providing further evidence that the carry trade unwind has ended, and we don't actually see that. But in terms of interesting opportunities, one of the ones that I've been playing, and it's helped to revitalize my trading account recently, is the precious metals sector. And gold's performance in here continues to be good. It's been good in currencies that had been weaker than the dollar for quite some time. And it's now continuing to strengthen against the U.S. dollar. As I speak, gold bullion is trading at 8.58, and with the dollar weakening and investors still concerned about the economic outlook, and understandably so, the precious metal sector really. Is quite interesting. I took some profits in here, partly because I'm not going to be here tomorrow, but I'm a buyer on setbacks, as I have been all along. And silver's done well, gold's done well, platinum's the one that's been flatlining in here, but is way off its highs. And I think this is a potential base, a probable base in platinum. And while the bears have been thinking only of the lack of demand from the automobile industry, this is a precious metal in short supply. Almost all of it comes from South Africa, and they have had production problems from time to time over the last couple of years. And I wouldn't bet against that happening again. So that is certainly an interesting story. The weaker dollar is, of course, cushioning downside in other commodities as well, and I think we will see further evidence of that. But oil prices are still quite low in here, with crude now finally closed at 43.60 here today. That's actually down a little bit. Gasoline looks like it had a downside failure, but my feeling is we probably don't have much further downside on many of these commodities, and indeed there is evidence that some of them have already bottomed out, but the relative strength leaders in this sector, it's been gold here mainly, with silver now starting to follow that lead overall. And gold shares, spectacular recovery overall. Now, I think that's pretty much it, and this is a very late hour to be getting this audio out. So it'll be time to for me to draw to a close here. I will say I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to be away on family medical matters. That really is just accompanying Mrs. Fuller on a whole battery of tests here, just to make sure that she is okay and continues to recover. But I will be back on Thursday and look forward to it. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.